Well, our sermon this morning is based on a continuation of the reading from Mark we heard. This is Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Thank you, God, for the brave women in Scripture who have shown us how to be faithful, courageous, and loving. In honor of Women's History Month, we continue to focus on women in the Bible who are generally overlooked. We also think about the ways they fit in with our theme this year of sow, grow, and know. I just came up with that recently. The first woman we featured, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, showed us how to grow in service to the Lord. Last week, a certain woman who took matters into her own hands to destroy an enemy showed us how to grow in courage. This week, another unnamed woman steps out of the shadows to show us how to grow in giving. You've probably heard the story of the widow's mite before, usually in conjunction with a stewardship campaign. We don't have stewardship campaigns here at First Christian Church, Ruidoso. But other churches have a time, usually in the fall, where their members are encouraged to fill out estimates of giving cards and make pledges of their tithes and offerings for the coming year. And this particular story is always dragged out to emphasize that if this one poor woman with so little gave everything she had, then so should we all. This story almost becomes a gospel guilt trip. We think Jesus is commending her sacrifice and compelling us to do the same. Indeed, we do admire this woman's faithfulness. She was contributing to the temple treasury, a treasury that was supposed to make distributions of monetary support to the poor and needy, people just like her. In those days, no one was poorer and needier than a widowed. Without a husband to support her, a widow often found herself in dire straits. How could she survive without help? What would she do to make a living? Perhaps this woman was one of those widows whose houses had been devoured by the oh-so-sanctimonious scribes, the ones Jesus warned his disciples about. They should have been taking care of women like her instead of exploiting them. The scribes were professional interpreters of the law. They studied the law intently, but they didn't do a good job of keeping it. The law said plainly in Deuteronomy 15:11, "Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I, God, therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land." It was a command, not a suggestion. In the temple court, there were 13 chests, each one labeled with the purpose to which the accumulated funds would be put. The chests were shaped like an inverted trumpet. Your coins would trickle into the opening and make a satisfying sound as they landed at the bottom of the chest. Jesus noted how the richer people threw in large sums of money, the coins clanking as if to applaud their giving. And then this woman crept in and meekly put in her offering two small copper coins called lepta, the smallest coins in circulation at the time. Her giving was a lepta of faith. It should not have come to this, that she had to give up everything she had to show her faith while others just threw in stuff they wouldn't miss. Jesus said she threw in her whole life. You wonder what she was thinking as she placed her coins in the trumpet-shaped tube and watched them slip into chest. If I give everything I have, surely the temple officials will reward my giving by taking care of me. If I give my all, surely God will see and bless me. Surely God knows what I'm doing, what I'm going through, and what I need. She had undoubtedly heard the words that said God was the protector of widows. That's in Psalm 68, verse 5, and that's what she was counting on, God's protection. Jesus was aware of her great sacrifice, and he made a point of pointing her out to his disciples. Jesus made them look at her and see her and pay attention to what she had done. The consensus about this story, the conclusion almost everyone makes, is that this woman, by putting in her 2 cents, outgave everyone else. The richer people could afford to toss in a lot of money, but this woman, one of the least, gave of the last of what she had. We applaud her selflessness. We shake our fist at a system and a culture that would let people fall into such dire straits, into the cracks and crevices where they gave everything they had and were left with nothing, where they walked away wondering where their next meal would come from. The rich gave without thinking. But the woman, the widow, contemplated carefully and counted her coins and concluded that she would be faithful to God's call to give, even though she was one of those vulnerable members of society who needed to be cared for. Unlike the other givers, she didn't make a show of her giving. She didn't want to call attention to herself and have others disparage her meager offering. Her giving was a matter between her and God. No one had the right to call her or anybody out for how much she did or didn't give. Jesus told his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those others." And the usual takeaway from this story is that we need to emulate her. We need to give sacrificially so our giving will be counted as extravagant abundance and blessed. The story is a caution against holding back what you have from the Lord. That's the generally accepted message of this scripture. But what if there was more to it? What if after Jesus made his sympathetic observation that out of her poverty, the woman put in everything she had, all she had to live on her whole life, what if after he spoke, what if he then looked at his disciples, just looked at them, trying to gauge if once again they cluelessly missed his point and his challenge? Yes, his meaning went right over their heads again. What if Jesus had pointed out that particular woman to them with an unspoken addition to his descriptive assessment? What if he was silently saying, "And now, my disciples, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to this widow's pressing needs? Are you going to stand there and just nod in sympathy and let her go on her lonely, poverty-stricken way? Does it not occur to you that you are in this very place, at this very time, at the exact moment this particular woman has walked into the temple so that you could do something for her?" What if Jesus' point was not so much for us to give like this widow, but to give to this widow and others like her and offer our hope and our help and our resources to her and to others like her? Perhaps Jesus expected or hoped one of the disciples would say, "Rabbi, we will help her. We will give her something to help her live." Perhaps that was what Jesus was waiting for. He was offering them a clear chance to make a difference and live out that scriptural command to open their hand to the poor and needy in the land. They had a beautiful opportunity to be faithful, and they blew it. Well, we all have moments like that. I was in Family Dollar not too long ago, behind a kid with a handful of snackies, Doritos, Sour Patch Kids, a Mountain Dew. But when he got to the register, he realized he didn't have enough money to buy all these things and he was looking forward to scarfing down. And so he left the pile on the counter and dragged himself out of the store. And I was standing right there. I should have said, "Hey, little brother, I'll get all those things for you." I missed that opportunity to give. Sorry, God. Please give me another chance. Send me someone else to help and help me not be clueless like the disciples. That's the lesson of this story. When there's an opportunity to make a difference, take it. When you have a chance to help someone who's hurting, do it. Don't just stand there and watch them slink away empty-handed and worried about what they will do next. Not to criticize or fault Jesus, but he could have gone up to that woman and given her blessed assurance. He could have said to her, as he once said to another hurting, hopeful woman, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." What this woman has done was to show us yet again that we have to constantly be looking for ways we can live out the creed we claim, that we are here as Jesus' hands and feet and eyes and ears to look out for and listen to the overlooked and take care of the least of those among us. We all commend the widow's faith and giving, but we might miss the subtle call to us to do something for her, something for all those lonely and hurting brothers and sisters who sometimes pass right in front of us and we don't see them until Jesus points them out to us with the unspoken challenge, now what are you going to do? We have looked at some of Jesus' parables recently where he gave object lessons to his listeners about faith and giving and growing. Now he was using a real life example, not an abstract illustration. He had just told the disciples that the temple leaders exploited poor widows, and now here's a real widow you can see with your very own eyes. You don't have to imagine her. She is right here in front of you. I can't imagine Jesus let her go on her weary way without a word of encouragement or a blessing for her, that he let an opportunity slip by to teach the disciples and us another lesson about love. There's in the Jewish tradition something called Midrash. What Midrash does is take a story from Scripture and add to it, enhancing it in a way by offering a different insight or another more satisfying yet still faithful ending to the story. So this is my Midrash for the Scripture. On the way home, still worried about what would happen to her next, the widow put her hand in her pocket. She thought it was empty. But to her immense surprise, she felt something in there. She drew out the objects. It was two mites. But hadn't she given her last two mites to the temple treasury just a moment ago? She could have sworn she did. Where did these coins come from? She panicked a little. Did I space out and not go to the temple? But I swear I did, and I swear I put those mites, my last two mites, in the offering box. I better go back and put them back in, she thought. I must have forgotten. I don't want to cheat God. So she turned around and went back to the temple. This time, not slinking, this time thinking of the coins that would go clinking into the box. She stood there and watched them go in. She saw them sink into the confines of the box. There, she thought. This time I know I put my money in. Satisfied, she started back home. But out of habit, she checked her pocket one more time and there were still two coins in it. She drew them out of her pocket and stared down at them. This had to be a gift from God. She looked up just then, and across the way she saw him. The man that had been sitting in the temple with a group of other men. She had seen him in her peripheral vision, but she had not made eye contact with him because she didn't want him to poo-poo her pitiful pennies or sneer at her 2 cents. But now she caught his eye. And she knew in her heart that he was not condemning her. He was consoling her, applauding her. The compassion in his eyes and the slight smile on his lips told her he knew her story, and he was sending her a blessing. For this man had once said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." This man had once said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." This widow had just had a kingdom encounter. She had given her whole life to the temple treasury, and now, thanks to the one who gives blessings abundant to us all, now she had her life back and more. That was indeed good news. Let us pray. God, thank you for showing us that what this woman has done is an example for us, an example of faithful giving. And thank you for the challenge Jesus has laid upon us to see those around us in need and to reach out to them with his love and his abundance to do better and be better in his name and for your glory. Help us grow not just in giving, but in caring as well. Amen. You know, they don't make pennies anymore. What are we going to do?